Compassion Plans, Episode 3, Empowering Other People.
The world we live in is far from perfect. How can I effectively make a difference? This is Compassion Plans, a weekly interview to help you make the world a better place with your host, Bentley Davis.
Today I have the amazingly helpful Ellery Wells on the show. I had an audio problem, so the audio is less than perfect for this interview, but the discussion with Ellery is important, so please listen in.
Great to have you on the show, Ellery.
Glad to be here, Bentley. Thanks for having me.
So compassion is about reducing someone else's pain. What sort of pain do you help reduce in the world?
The pain that I want to reduce, and I don't know if we can completely eliminate it or not, but I want to reduce the pain that goes along with stepping out and doing something that you are passionate about, whether that's starting a blog, a podcast, or a business. There are certain challenges that we all face, you know, like how do we do WordPress or how do we build a website? I've never done that before, those kinds of things. Those may not be physical pains. They may cause headaches, but they're not necessarily physical pains. And that's what I want to try to reduce for people is to get the technological or financial headaches and pains out of the way so that people can share whatever it is, their message with the world. And hopefully that answers the question, and you could categorize that as compassion.
So how do you help them out with all that?
A good question. A couple different things. One is I focus on the technology piece and the financial piece, because those seem to be fairly universal or large headaches and large pains. So I show how do people do things with technology on it easily. I've made a lot of mistakes, Bentley. I've tested a lot of different things, different plugins, different resources, and then when I find one, I find a way to break it and fix it. And so anything that if you have a technological pain, how to start a podcast, how to start a blog, I want to show you how easy it can be. You know, there's ways to do it difficult, there's ways to do it easy, and I want to show you how to do that. As far as the financial pain that people have, I wanted my business, when I first started it out, I wanted it to pay for itself. And for, I think, large part, it has. But that's why I wrote a book about podcasting, an ebook, you know, how to do it for $200 or less. Because a lot of people think, I got to have a microphone, got to have a website, got to do yada, yada, yada. And it's this big, huge expense. But what if it didn't have to be? And what if we could remove that pain of a huge dollar amount so that you and I can have conversations just like this? You know, remove the financial pain so we can do it on a budget, high-quality product or service for a low dollar amount.
So you're lowering those barriers so that people can get out and express the passion they have about different things.
Exactly. You're already doing a great job podcasting because you took my 1,000-word summary and boiled it down to 20, so you're already knocking it out of the park, man.
Well, good. Shows I'm listening, which is actually a really hard thing. So you're at about episode 40 in your podcast?
39 maybe comes out soon.
Yeah. So how hard was it for you to get started? You'd done some speaking previously. Do you think that helped?
Yes and no. I did theater in high school and performed and did some recruitment in college for the fraternity, and I've been in sales for about 15 years just talking to people. None of it just typing, but talking on the phone and things. And I think all of that has helped through the process. But with that said, it took me a long time before I felt somewhat comfortable behind a microphone. And to some extent, it's still kind of awkward. My wife told me the other day, I guess it was a couple months ago now, she's like, you should have a beer or something before you start a podcast to loosen up, because I'm very introverted. I try to come out of my shell to do podcasts, and it's not a normal thing. So all of that experience, did it help? Yes. Did it get me 100% prepared? No. And if someone else is out there and says, well, I'm shy, trust me, I'm very, very shy. But if they say I'm shy, I don't have this sales experience or the speaking experience, you do what my friend Deacon did. A guy named Deacon Bradley, I just finished up lunch with him. He's doing a podcast called Life Stoked. He interviewed his friends and recorded them. He interviewed 10 or 15 people, you know, not for podcast release purposes, but to get comfortable with it. And that's what I would probably suggest to anybody who's having that pain. Just practice.
What was your actual impetus to start this?
The reason why I started it is not why I'm passionate about it today. I started blogging 2.5 years ago because I started seeing gaps in the leadership at the company that I was working for. And so I started reading books like Entree Leadership and reading blog posts and things all about leadership. So I started writing about leadership. So that's why I started it. My first client actually came to me, which is interesting, because she liked what I was blogging about and wanted me to coach her through the the point she was in life. What I'm doing now is really focused on entrepreneurs because, and you know, there's a lot of people that are. I get frustrated when people like you, Bentley, have a really cool message, but unlike you, they get stuck because they don't know the technology, they don't understand it, they don't have the time to figure it out, or they see a huge dollar figure, oh, websites are super expensive, which, you know, they're not. They get stuck on a couple different things. I met a girl named Melissa in Vegas when I was there for New Media Expo, and her blog is about bullying. And she has an incredibly important and timely message about bullying and overcoming that. What would it have been like if Melissa had gotten caught up with the technology of starting a blog and nobody got to hear her message? That's a shame. Yeah. That is a problem to me. I want to get that out of the way for people, and that's why I do what I do now. That's why I'm starting an online course. That's why I do talk about it on my podcast and write blog posts about it, is to get those things that are in people's way out of the way. So that, like you said, when you summarized all of my rambling, you said get the roadblocks out of the way for people. That's what I want to do, because there's so many people with a really cool message that it would be a darn shame if they never shared it because they couldn't figure it out or afford.
Yeah. You mentioned in your bio that you were laid off at one point, which a lot of people, especially in the last 5 years, have had happen to them. How much of that was a part? Do you think that you would be where you are today if that hadn't happened?
No, that's a crappy experience. And depending on when this goes out, I've already written and scheduled a blog post about my experience when I was laid off in 2009. For June 30th, by the way, June 30, 2014, and it was a really crappy experience. 4 days before I got laid off, I picked out an engagement ring, and wow. That's part of the story. But had I not been laid off and had things gone very well and I had seen good examples of leadership, I probably would have never started my blog 2.5 years ago. And in fact, the guy, his name's Kevin, the guy who kind of inspired me to start this blog, or he was kind of the catalyst event for me to start it, I met him when I worked at IBM. So All that's to say, probably not. You know, it's when you're in a crappy situation, you kind of dwell on it and focus, and hopefully 5-10 years down the road, you can look back and say, well, here's clearly what I learned, A, B, and C, and I'm better for it. But then, I mean, I downsized in an apartment. I put off getting engaged for 6-7 months, sold stuff, stopped buying new toy. You know, my life was completely changed for a short amount of time. So, no, I probably wouldn't have done that if I would not be here now talking to you had that not have happened in 2009. Crazy.
Well, I'm glad it happened, unfortunately. even though it was kind of hard.
Yeah, because you're
all a chance to grow from you.
You're up in the Dallas area, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I used
to ask you because you mentioned North Texas.
Yep. I used to live on MacArthur when I downsized up right across from Valley Ranch. When the tornado took it down, I could see where it used to be from my front porch.
Oh wow.
I lived about half a mile south of Beltline on MacArthur.
Okay. Yeah, I know the area well.
Yeah.
And you mentioned you made a lot of mistakes. What's a lesson that you learned the hard way that you could share that you might hopefully prevent someone else from having to do that?
If you think, if I write it or publish it or record it, you know, Field of Dreams, if I build it, they will come. That's false. That will never happen. The internet is too big. You and I, Bentley, are too busy if we don't reach out and tell somebody about the cool stuff that we're doing. There's 40 million websites, and I will never find yours unless you say, hey, Ellery, here's a really cool blog post. I think it will help you or, you know, your audience or something like that. If you build it, they will come. Not going to happen. I mean, there's a couple anomalies that when you actually look at it, they busted their butts, and so that doesn't happen. And my point is that I did that for a long time. I did that for 15 months, thinking, just head down, focus, work, and it didn't work. When I changed things, my numbers, not to talk about numbers, but they tripled, and then they tripled again when I started doing things different.
If someone really had a passion they wanted to get out, what would be the first step that you would tell them to do?
That is a brilliant question, because so many people are like, well, they whether they're perfectionists or not, they want to have all of their ducks in a row. They want to have everything planned. They want to know what they're going to be doing on Tuesday the 4th, 8 months from now, or whatever. That's a bad example. That's kind of an abstract example. They want to know where they will be and how things will happen. They want to have it planned out. That doesn't work. Probably the first thing is write it out. That would probably be the most basic of answers to that question, because you can have a brilliant idea in your head, but when you put pen to paper, it can either fall apart or you start seeing the gaps, and it really helps outline it. If it's in your head, you really can't critique it as well as you think, and nobody else can either. So the basic one, the first baby step, if you will, would be to write it down. The second one would be to do something about it, because you can't plan for something down the road if you're not even on the road yet.
Right.
And I compared this to a golf course. You know, we want to have all 18 holes figured out and lined up. I'm going to use the 7-iron on the third hole for my chip shot. We want to have that planned out. But in reality, in real life, we can't even see the end of the first hole that we're on. And we can't plan for it until we've teed off and started moving. And the same thing happens in business, with podcasting, the blog, or in life in general. We can't plan everything out, and there will be obstacles that we'll come up against that they're completely random, and we would never be able to plan for them. We'll never get there. We can't plan for them. We've just got to take them in stride.
Do you have any resources that you use day in, day out that you think might help someone else who wants to do something like this?
I'd connect with people who are doing either what you want to be doing or people who are beside you on the path, because this is something very similar to what you're doing. We just have to connect with people, build that support system. Through mastermind groups, that's a kind of a buzzword right now. Mm-hmm. But get with like-minded people, surround yourself with them, and connect with them in person if you can. But sharing your ideas and plans with somebody, and you kind of walk through life together, walk through the business process together, use each other's strengths, those kinds of things.
Is there anything that's really holding you back right now that you wish, if you had a magic wand, you could make go away, or a problem that you wish you could have solved for you?
I wish I had a bigger audience. I don't know if that's a problem that big people with a big audience have. I know from wishing that I had things, once I had them, they don't solve all the problems that I thought they would solve. If that makes sense. I wish I was able to connect with more people, so whenever I have something to say, more people can benefit from it, or I can get more feedback. Maybe a bigger audience. I don't know if that's a good answer or not, though.
That's a good answer. The right answer is a good answer. So.
Cool.
So one of the questions normally asked is how we can support you, but I can see from there there's great ways to share this great content that you're sharing with us, with other people, so I imagine that's one way we could help you. Is there anything else you'd like the Compassion Plans audience to do to help you out?
I think in my answer to that, Bentley, is rooted in something that I've noticed over the last several months. It's you and I need to promote one another more often. If you see somebody, and if that's me, and you're listening to this podcast, and you think what I have to say and what I'm doing is cool, share it with somebody. You know, we get, I don't know what exactly where the problem lies, you know, in our mindset, but you and I could talk about the greatest movie that we saw, or the last one that we saw, and it just blew my mind. You know, I think this weekend we're going to see that new Tom Cruise movie. It looks awesome. And we could talk about it and promote it. You know, we're talking about it on air. But when it comes to an ebook or a blog post or a course or something that you've created or that I've created, we as these small guys, You know, there's the big guys and there's the small guys like us.
Right.
You know, I found a lot of people are very hesitant to share what their friends are doing. I don't really know why. We could say, hey, check this out. Michael Hyatt did this awesome thing. And if you don't know Michael Hyatt, that's perfect. He's got 400,000 viewers to his blog, so he's a big guy. But if I said, hey, Bentley, check out what Michael's doing, he'd be like, okay, cool. And I would feel comfortable with it. But if I said, hey, check out what Bentley's doing, we don't always do that. And I don't know why. I don't know why.
That's funny. I ask how we can promote you, and you tell us that we need to promote our friends, which is just great. I love how you're always helping out.
I wish I could say always. I try. I definitely do my best, but you know that's what it comes down. It's supporting our friends. If I can add one more comment to this,
sure.
Okay. I went to New Media Expo at the beginning of January 2014. It's my very first one, and I came away from that with this idea that there's a boat in the water, and you and I are trying to get into this boat. And we fight each other for these big-name podcasters people, these big famous people, all of these people that are huge names in whatever industry that we're in. And we're clamoring for those people, and those people are in this boat. And you and I are pushing each other, pulling each other down, trying to prevent the other one from getting in the boat because we think if Bentley's in it, I can't get in it. And that's completely false. If we would just step back and say, hey, let me help you into the boat. Once you're in, you turn right around and you pull me up. We would realize that the boat is big enough to take us both where we want to go. That image has been in my head for the last 5 or 6 months, whatever it is, that we are fighting to get on the favor list of these people who are just hundreds of thousands of listeners or readers on their blog, or even if that's not what you want to do as a listener, it's opening a storefront. Accountants and lawyers are terrible about this too, Bentley. They don't create their own network. They're like, oh, I want to be friends with this big five law firm, but my friend who just graduated, we don't refer our customers to them either. And it's a universal problem, but if we just step back, stop fighting amongst each other, and realize there's room in the boat for both of us, or all three of us, or all 1,000 of us, it'll take us both where we want to go. I don't know, that's kind of my rant for the second, but that's been stuck in my head for the last 4 or 5 months, is we get in each other's way. We shoot each other in the foot. You know, if you remember that game where you step on somebody's shoe when you're not,
right.
It's the same thing. We're doing that, but as professionals, we get in each other's way, and we need to stop thinking of each other as competition, and we need to refocus and see people as people we can collaborate with instead of competing with. And I love competing, but we need to collaborate more.
Yeah, I think that's inspirational, and that's very helpful. I think that type of collaboration environment will benefit, like you say, everyone. So that's great.
Absolutely.
How can people contact you?
Almost everywhere in the internet, except YouTube. I botched my name there, but I'm Ellery Wells everywhere. I think I'm the only one in the world, but ELLORYWELLS, so ElleryWells.com. Facebook.com/ElleryWells, Twitter.com/ElleryWells, LinkedIn, ElleryWells, all of those, but Twitter and Facebook are my favorite. You can find all those. Forget all that other crap, ElleryWells.com.
How long have you been kind of running the coaching and the podcasting?
My podcast went live in November of 2013, so
okay.
7, 8 months or so. And I have been blogging since January 2012.
Have you had any success stories yet? I'm sure you have.
I do, and you asked about coaching, and my first client came to me, and that was in 2013, I think. So I've been doing that about a year. Success stories? I don't feel like there's been one real defining, or even a small one, this successful moment. I know you weren't really referring to as a I have arrived type moment, but honestly, and this kind of changes the question a little bit, but I think a success moment for me was when it was in April of this year when I really figured out my mission and my purpose. And that's kind of a weird way to answer that question. It wasn't like I sold my first product. That was one. When I got paid to coach, mm-hmm. that was another one, I guess. But
mm-hmm.
whenever I really figured out why the heck I'm here, and it was a tough, long long road for me. It was success in the fact that, it, or in the sense that it was like pouring gasoline on a fire that had been burning for a couple years. When I figured out that I wanted to help people get the obstacles out of their way and leverage my analytical personality to test all these things and pick out the best one, that was a success moment for me. And again, it's a weird way to answer that question, but that's when I really felt like I have a way to move forward. Things that seemed like random projects sort of gelled and a path was more clear.
Right.
But I can't say that, Bentley, without also saying, if people are out there listening to this, or if you're even listening to this, and you don't quite know what your purpose is, you A, have to act anyway, and B, you can't worry about it. I blogged four to five times, sometimes 10 times a month for 2 years, and put out 20 episodes of a podcast, before I really felt like I knew exactly what I wanted to do. Intentional effort, and it still took me 2 years. And I know there's somebody listening to this right now. They haven't acted yet because they want to have it figured out, but they won't figure it out until they've acted for maybe it takes 2 years.
Right.
They have to do something to figure it out.
Yeah, I think that's great to put that moment where you kind of find your purpose in life as a big win. And also, it's great the way you say that it's not like you're unsuccessful until that happens. You're seeking it, as long as you're actively doing that. I kind of feel kind of sad for the people that maybe go through their whole life without even asking that question. But I think it's great that we live in a society where we have resources and, you know, we have a really great place to live, that we have the opportunity to kind of sit back and say, what do I want to do? Is that we can start podcasts, we can talk to people, which is great opportunities to ask that question and answer it.
Absolutely, yeah.
I think I'm only about halfway there. I know that I want to do something that'll make the world a better place for what that thing is. And that's why I thought I'd interview a lot of people that are doing that and then steal one of their ideas.
That's perfect. I mean, if I want to know about somebody, Mark, and I interview them on my show, I'm going to interview and do a blog post and have a session in my course or all of the above about doing like some attorney things, like, you know, how to set up a business properly. I have no idea, but guess who's going to be on my show to talk about it? Some attorney somewhere. And, right, you know, they get to talk about their stuff, but, you know, what you're doing is perfect. You don't know exactly, but interview people till you do. Or if you have an idea, but you're not the expert, interview people till you are the expert. That's what Jamie Tardy did with The Eventual Millionaire. She just started interviewing millionaires, and when she started, she didn't know a single millionaire. Now, who is she rubbing elbows with? Millionaires. So, that's the perfect way to do it.
Well, Ellery, I really appreciate your time sharing with us your passion and the wisdom you've gained so far and your humility.
You're welcome. Excited to be here. This is really fun. Thank you, and good luck with your show.
And listeners, thanks for joining us. Get the links and notes for today's show at compassionplans.com/3. Never miss an episode by entering your email into our subscription list while you're there. If you appreciate what we're doing, go to compassionplans.com/appreciate to find out how you can spread compassion, like rating and reviewing this podcast on iTunes. Thank you so much for caring.